531. From a field of 166 entries, the 28 finalists in the 2021 New Zealand Book Awards for Children and Young Adults were recently announced. Across six main categories, these books offer the nation's young readers a tasty smorgasbord of titles packed with meaty themes and addictive plot lines. Six categories: picture book, junior fiction, the Wright Family Foundation Esther Glenn Award, young adult fiction, non-fiction, the Elsie Locke Award, illustration, the Russell Clark Award, and Te Reo Māori, the Wright Family Foundation Te Kura Pounamu Award, with up to five finalists selected for each category, and from these, a category winner is selected. The awards are judged by a panel of five. International best-selling author Lani Wenk Young has been named a finalist in the young adult fiction category for her book Fire's Caress, published by One Tree House in this year's New Zealand Book Awards for Children and Young Adults. The panel of judges said about Fire's Caress that Lani brings her characteristic linguistic flair and talent for narrative pacing to this return to the Telesa world. Fire's Caress, a novel of brilliant collision as the roiling arcane powers of Samoa's mythological past confront modern-day corporate hegemony. Lani Wenk Young joins us now live from Samoa. Mā rosoe fōra, and thank you, Lani, for your time this afternoon.
Tāua whālama, and thank you for having me.
Well, of course, your reaction firstly, Lani, at being chosen as a finalist and what it means to you?
It's really exciting. It's really humbling to be in such like a category with so many other really amazing books. And so I think that when I heard the news, I was really grateful, thankful to my publisher, One Tree House, because of the work that they put into getting this book ready for the reader and getting that story out there. And I mean, I don't know about you, but just as a Samoan author sitting here in Samoa, closed borders, you know, it's just really exciting to me to think that my little book has made it this far in these quite prestigious awards. And yeah, I'm just really buzzed and excited about that.
No small mean feat, my friend, at all. And congratulations, of course. Now, for our 531 PI listeners and viewers this afternoon, a brief synopsis of Fire's Caress, please, Lani.
Okay, so it's the sixth book in my, what I call the Telesa World series. And these are all books that are set in contemporary Samoa. And they are very much inspired by our legends and mythology. I mean, I don't know if we should even call them legends. Sometimes, you know, we really believe in these stories and in some of these aitu. And so I draw a lot on those. And so Fire's Caress, here it is the story of Te Wila. She is a young sculptor and artist, and she's got some magical aitu powers. And there is a whole lot of adventure and things that happen. It's a romance at heart because I do love a good love story. But it's set in post-coronavirus pandemic times. And we have a multi-billionaire from America. He's the villain. And he comes to Samoa wanting to set up what he's calling a sanctuary. But yes, it's a bit dodgy, you know? Yeah, lots of different things happen and people get killed, people fall in love, and people get punished for their wrongdoings. So, yeah.
Well, a lot of people would say, well, fiction or a lot of parallels to, you know, things happening. We're not going to say, you know, whereabouts. But now, in terms of the Telesa world, where did it all begin for you? What was the genesis? You saying, you know, of course, that this is the sixth book in the series.
I think for me, it really went back to my time as a teenager, as a young person growing up here in Samoa. And just really, I've always been an avid reader and always searching and hungry for a story that was set here in Samoa. And I'm a big reader of fantasy and, you know, magic magical stories, but there were none that I could really relate to as a young Samoan woman, you know? And so for me, I looked at what myths and legends here in Samoa that I could take and adapt and put into a very current and contemporary setting. And so I grew up here in Lotopa, Alafua area. And as you know, that's the area of the Telesa. And so growing up with a lot of those warnings and stories that especially us young girls are given about what not to do, what not to wear, what we should, how we should behave. And it was always Telesa's name that was invoked as a threat. And so I was very much intrigued by this legend and this story and this figure of Telesa. And so, but I had so many questions. Why is she like that? Why does she care what we look like, what we're wearing? And so I went ahead and made up my own answers and came up with the first novel of Telesa, which is set in today's Samoa. But very much I wanted to make it relatable to our young people. And so we have a teenager coming from America. She's part Samoan. And so she's returning here to wanting to learn more about her mom's family, you know, and find herself and her identity. So goes to school here in Samoa. And I think that mirrors a lot of our young people's journey, especially those who are growing up overseas. You get to a point, I think, where you want to learn more about, you know, your parents, where they have come from. You want to learn more about the values and the culture that have shaped your life. But yeah, so many of us, I think, then there's a return, you know, there's a returning to Samoa and wanting to learn more about who we really are.
Lani, for you, do you remember the exact moment or point where, you know, you said to yourself, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life? And, you know, how that maybe epiphany, you know, impacted you at whatever stage you were when you made that decision?
Yeah, I think I grew up, I've got six, there's six brothers and sisters, you know, as siblings in my family. And I was always the storyteller. You know, I mean, we grew up before, we didn't have TV. I know that makes me sound very ancient. There was no internet, no television. We didn't have cell phones. And so when the lights got turned off at night, I was the one who told stories to my brothers and sisters. So I was the entertainment. And so I think from there, being able to see the power that you can have on people, you know, when you're able to tell a story and people listen, it's a really powerful thing. And to be able to influence and captivate others. And so from those very early days of being the storyteller, and then growing up, I became a teacher and I started by writing short stories and articles for the newspaper. One thing I noticed right away was just how difficult it is to get our young people to read. And I think part of the problem is there's just not enough stories where we are the stars, where we're the main characters. And so I think for me, that's what really pushed me to think, no, we need books, we need stories. And so no one else is still, you know, I'm going to write one. And that's where it started.
When you look back over your literary, you know, career thus far, what has been the biggest challenge for you and how you overcame that, Lani?
I think for me, one of the big challenges was just overcoming that self-doubt. You know, I think that a lot of times you've got these stories and you feel like, you know, you want to share them and you want to tell them. But it's one thing to just tell stories to your children or to your brothers and sisters, but then it's a big, huge leap to then put those stories in a book and send it out into the world. I think I mentioned before that when I first finished my first novel and submitted it places, it was rejected many times. And, you know, I mean, that you really take a hit when, you know, these experts are telling you, actually, we're not interested, your book's not good enough, or nobody's going to want to read this, or not enough people want to read this book. And so I think for me, that was a huge challenge to still hang on to that belief that I had that maybe they weren't right, you know, that actually, no, I think that there's an audience for this story. There's a hunger for these stories. And I do think that I'm a person that could tell such stories and people might listen to them and might want to read them. So for me, that's been a big challenge is, every book that I put out, there's still that doubt. You know, you send a book out, like right now, I'm working on a novel called Matsuotsi. It's a apocalyptic novel set in Samoa about zombies. But, you know, even that I'm questioning and doubting and worried whether, can I really tell this story? You know, are people going to enjoy it? So I think that's something as a writer, you're always having to deal with.
I read that earlier, you know, when you said that you had been rejected a number of times, you actually went down the route of self-publishing, books online. And, you know, amazing that we do have that technology, you know, now available for you. What was that like for you, being able to have control of, like, the whole process, as it were, you know, from go to woe, Lani?
It's incredibly exciting. And looking back, I am so thankful that my book got rejected because it forced me into that space. It forced me to look for alternative ways to get my book out there. And really, I mean, I'm so grateful for my husband, Darren, because, you know, there I was thinking, oh no, you know, I don't know if this book is any good. And he was like, just, we'll print it ourselves and we'll just sell it. I was like, how are we gonna do it? He's like, we'll just put it on a truck. And we'll just take it down to the market. We'll just sell it. I mean, he's a very practical, straightforward person. And but being sort of pushed into that route of having to do it myself, I had to learn so many things. I'm not very good with computers, or I wasn't. I'd never read an ebook before. And so I had to do a lot of research. And so I learned a lot of things and made up stuff as I was going. And so now, I'm in the position of being able to be what we call a hybrid author. I self-publish and I own the rights for all my digital books, but I've also sold some of the print rights to a publisher, a traditional publishing company in New Zealand, One Treehouse Press. And by doing that, I'm able to see my books in regular stores. I'm able to go to the airport and see them in all those bookshops. One Treehouse, my publisher, is great. They're able to submit it to these awards like the NZCYA Awards. And so I feel like I'm in a really privileged position of being, I have a foot in both camps, so to speak. And it does give me a lot of independence and a lot of choice. And I'm really grateful for that.
Now, Lani, besides yourself being named as a finalist in the adult fiction category, another of our Daughters of the Pacific, Selena Tusitala Marsh, has been nominated in the L.C. Locke Award for Nonfiction for Mophead 2, The Queen's Poem. Is this a step in the right direction, as you see, regarding recognition of Pasifika authors and the changing of the power dynamic, as it were, in terms of the, you know, the publishing world recognising Indigenous stories?
I think that it's definitely a step in the right direction. Last year, for the very first time, there were three Pasifika authors and their books recognized in the awards, who were shortlisted. It was myself, Selena's first book, the first Mophead book, and also Courtney Sina Meredith. She had her in the children's illustrated books category. And I think it's an exciting step. I think it's long overdue. And for me, I don't think it's enough. From where I'm standing, I don't think it's enough for just, for me to be in there and to get my foot in the door. I think what's really important is that myself and, you know, Selena and the rest of us, it is then our responsibility to look around and say, right, well, who else should be here? What can we do to help get more of our people writing, more of our people publishing? How can we help? And yeah, and let's claim, well, I kind of say, you know, we need our seat at the table, but actually I'm actually more interested in we just make our own table, you know. I think it's great, and I'm excited for more of us to be in there.
Well, What is the, you know, the ongoing drive or motivation for you, Lani, as an author of Samoan Pacifica stories?
Well, I think it's the stories. People ask me, you know, is it hard? Where do you get your ideas from? And I'm like, well, actually, no, my problem is I've got too many story ideas, you know, and then the challenge is to actually sit down and write them all out and finish the book. And so for me, I think, you know, my drive is just trying to find the time and make the space in my life and stay disciplined enough so that I can get all these stories out of here and out of here onto the page, get the story finished and put it out there. And Telesa was the very first young adult fiction from Oceania, from the Pacific. And then with my next series, Scarlet Lies, it was the first contemporary romance, you know, we call chick lit, from Oceania. And now with Matsuoti, it's the first apocalyptic, you know, sort of zombie fiction. And I feel like I'm always doing, you know, I'm basically writing these stories that I love to read. And I want to read one that's set in Samoa. There aren't any, so somebody's got to do it. So let's, you know, I guess I better hurry up and do it so that I can read it.
Of course. And for our 531 PI listeners, viewers, where can they get a copy of Fire's Caress, published by One Tree House, please, Lani?
Well, I'm really excited that the book's Fire's Caress is available in most warehouse stores. Thank you to the warehouse distributor. And also in the airport bookshops. There's also many independent bookstores, like the Children's Bookshop in Wellington, the Good Books Bookshop in Wellington as well. Those sorts of places. Unity Books also has it. So thank you to all the awesome bookshops. But the other thing too is go to your libraries. You know, I mean, like I really encourage our people to go to your local library. School libraries have a great selection of our Pacifica authors. And if you are looking and curious about what book you should pick up next, there are 28 finalists in the NZCYA Awards. Highly recommend all of them. but go to the library. I love libraries.
Well, Lani went young finalist in the young adult fiction category for her book Fire's Caress, published by One Tree House, and this year's New Zealand Book Awards for Children and Young Adults. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Lani. Really appreciate it. And all the very best, not only for the finals, but of course all the future upcoming projects. Thank you.
Thank you so much.